You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Now, episode one left us wondering, will Dracula turn up the sex appeal? We're going to find out right now as we talk about Netflix version of Dracula, episode two, right now on AfterBuzz.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
Oh, we got. Did we have the lights last time? I don't remember the lights last time.
It's like a dance party.
Yeah, just make them red and ominous, right?
I know. We need to make dark.
Dun, dun, dun. What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us here on AfterBuzz. I'm Jackie Ray. We are talking about Netflix version of Dracula, episode 2, Blood Vessel. And we're going to get into a lot of things tonight, including Dracula's interaction with humanity, Van Helsing's plan, Dracula from days past, and our best bites. But first, let me introduce my illustrious co-host, illustrious. I was trying to think something more dark and ominous. Illustrious is not dark and ominous, but
we can become dark and ominous.
Adrian Snow.
Hello, everyone.
And Emily May.
Hi.
How you guys doing?
We're good.
You kind of feeling dark and ominous after these two episodes?
Feel a little dark, a little
scared. She's like, yeah, whatever. All right, Adrian, tell me your overall thoughts.
Oh, boy. You know, I did like episode two better just in terms of I liked the ensemble dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to see some kind of, or some of the like sci-fi, or at least becoming sci-fi mainstays, like Dr. Sharma, the actor who plays him, is in Doctor Who right now. Mm-hmm. And then also the gentleman who plays the captain is also from Sherlock as well. And
oh, okay.
The end of the effing world. So that was nice to see. I did appreciate that. They definitely brought some flavor to it that is lacking from the lead.
Yeah, okay. So, Emily, what about you?
Yeah, so I really kind of thoroughly enjoyed episode two once I really got into it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how it was in one place, even though kind of the first episode was, this felt very, like, the stakes were really high.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like they're stuck on this ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like there was enough characters to go around that it really kind of created diverse situations that caused some problems later on.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that we didn't find out what happened to Mina off top. But I was like, okay, they're just going to bury the lead. I'll just have to wait for it on this one.
But wait a little bit.
I know, but, you know, I don't like waiting.
Yeah.
All right, but so let's dive into it, because they show up on this ship, the Demeter?
Demeter,
right? And we've got Yuri, who's the captain of it. And then there is this coffin that the doctor has dug up that was 70. Did you guys have any frame of reference that you, any clue as to what that coffin, who was in that coffin at all at that point?
Only because of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Right.
Because there's a whole scene where it's about him riding in the boat and, like, changing in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, I guess that was supposed to be the big twist, is that he didn't actually stay in the coffin like he does
in the
film. And I think maybe even the book. It's just about him having ghouls on the boat who kind of do his bidding without him having to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an interesting kind of twist, turning into like a Agatha Christie whodunit.
Right.
So. Yeah, I know. I felt like I was in kind of a Clue.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
Where I was like, okay, we know who did it. But, but it felt like a little more mysterious. And, you know, the crates were a mystery in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them to continue the theme and continue having, like, the dirt show up and the soil, I feel like that was a continuous theme that I think was important, and it kind of added to the mystery that the other characters besides Dracula were trying to figure out.
Right.
Yeah.
I did like that, even though I still didn't feel like I got the passion, per se, that I wanted in this episode. There was a lot more interaction between Dracula and the characters in this one, where you saw that he was charming and he was at least witty and, you know, maybe not that passion or that sex appeal that I wanted, but you could at least see how people are drawn to him and they want to talk to him, especially the Duchess. Now, what do you guys think about their interaction, Dracula and the Duchess?
Well, it was clear that he had an old, like, he had known her from before, which is nice to see. But at the same time, it was kind of like, well, what was the point? Like, you know, if you're going to, why bring her onto the boat? And the whole idea that he's using all these people to absorb them so that he can be more, I guess, influential when he gets to England, it just doesn't quite stick the landing for me. It's like, okay, I see where how you could potentially make that a plot point or his, like, motive, but...
Right. I mean, the way I saw it is in the first episode he kept talking about what he absorbs, he like consumes their you know, their traits, I guess. And so in the second episode this is the point where he has to really choose carefully who he is going to
eat.
Yeah. You know? And so the fact that he was very like methodical about it and he I think near the end he kind of got a little too, it was a little too drastic, but I think with the plot twist and kind of the twists and turns, I think it added more development to his character, and I felt like it was a lot more in-depth and showcased his personality a little bit, more than in the first episode, because the first episode, it's just him and... Jonathan Harker.
Yeah. Right. I kind of feel like Adrian, though. I kind of felt like, you know, the interaction with the Duchess, especially when we see them dancing when she's a child. Yeah. And, well, not a child, but, you know, a young adult.
A young woman.
And she knows it's him. But she's like, it's impossible. And I kind of wanted to play that up because you left her alive then. So why are you eating her now? You know what I mean? Like, I just kind of wanted a little bit more backstory on that I just didn't get.
Yeah. Well, I felt this episode gave a lot of little nuggets like that where... you think it's going one direction and then they take it a whole other, a whole other direction. And so I feel like that kind of kept the mystery going. But you kind of, when Dracula's talking to her and then she's speaking German and then he has to go out and get the crew member. And the fact that I loved the moment where he still had the stutter.
Right.
Yeah. And so you still saw a glimpse of the blood and of that gentleman that he took his life. And so it was really kind of creepy. And you realize that he has to kind of navigate that's a whole other navigation.
Right.
That he has to do.
I just want to real quick say hello to everyone in the chat. Thank you guys so much for checking in with us. This is awesome. We got a lot of comments. Billie Jean Girl says that Dracula did flirt in this episode.
Yeah.
Kind of.
He flirted
with
Lord Ruthven.
Ruthven. Yeah. He flirted with him, but that was more of a Me Too flirt. That was very aggressive. Let me just grab your leg and squeeze. I didn't like that flirt.
Well,
he flirted with the lady Dorabella as well.
That's
he
true. Did.
To a certain. He,
I mean,
to
I have to say extent. That scene with her on the deck was. Really intense.
Right, because it looked like she wanted to kiss him.
Yeah, she was like a young, newly married woman, and this mysterious man is, you know, pops up on deck.
Yeah.
And the fact that she is talking intimate details.
Yeah. You know? I kind of took that as... I don't think I read it right then, because I didn't read it as so much her being drawn to him as much as I read it as she knew that her man... wasn't really into her like that.
Oh,
I don't think she knew that.
No, I don't think she knew
really?
That either.
No.
Because she was way too excited
she
when he showed her the mirror.
She was way too excited, yeah. And she was way too excited in the beginning when she's like, oh, it's we're married. And her, you know, it was like their honeymoon cruise.
Right.
It didn't end well, but...
Yeah. Like, worst honeymoon ever. So we're going to get into some more of that, but before we do, Adrian, do you want to tell us... Oh, do you want to... Well,
yes. Guys, I'm just going to wing this one, but... you know, thank you guys so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. You know, we couldn't do it without you, and we couldn't do it without your likes. Yes, your comments on YouTube. If you're on iTunes, give us 5 stars, because we always appreciate the interactions we have with fans of the show, of the after show, of us. I see you out there still following me since Masters of Sex. Appreciate you.
Nice.
So thank you guys so much for being a part of AfterBuzz TV, and let's get on with the show.
Yay!
All right, so we find out he stocked the boat, basically.
Yeah.
He stocked the ship with his, like, delicatessens, I guess.
Yeah.
With every
playmates.
So yeah. do we think that maybe he put the gentleman on there who spoke German so he could devour him?
Maybe. I don't know if he worked as hard as on the crewman as he did on the actual guests.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just like, it was convenient that, oh yeah, I don't remember, she's going to speak German, right? I should go find someone who does
that. I don't think for the crew, he was thinking anything deliberate. I think he was like, all right, I need a crew for my ship.
Right.
And then here's the people I want to devour.
Right.
So, because they kept talking about how they could work the ship with a skeleton crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, he could have like 2-3 crew members and still get to where he needed to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did think about you when I was watching this episode. I was like, where's the sex? And then all
Dude. They made a ton of sex puns with no sex.
Right.
And I was like,
yeah.
There weren't even like flashbacks.
No. Well, there was a one fake sex scene with
Abramoff.
Yes.
Abramoff and Dorval.
Once again, he pretends to be this woman, and then wham.
That's true. That was
a little salty when he wakes up and she's like already having sex. And I was like,
it was a little disturbing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's Dracula, though.
I know. Well, and Dracula like likes to play games. Like this was an episode where you got to see him kind of have a little fun.
Right.
He's not in his castle anymore. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm out in the real world. Mm-hmm. He's in the boat. As a quote person, he can interact with people.
Yeah.
You know, he really is, you know, he can play around. And so this was his chance to not just be in a box.
Right.
Yeah. But it just...
You are underwhelmed right now.
I mean, it was fun to see to a certain point, but I think for me, the best part of the episode was when it was revealed that Van Helsing had been on the boat.
Cabin 9.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Cabin
9. So let's jump into that because the whole time I was wondering, because, you know, we see the doctor discover it. We have that flashback where whoever was in that coffin ate his aides or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he kept that hush-hush, I was like, wow, that's why would you keep that hush-hush?
Yeah.
Like, well, you tell people.
Yeah, and I noticed, like, in episode 2, there was a lot of, like, there was flies and sound, and they used sound to really get the audience to know that, like, something is in there, something's not good, something bad is going to happen.
Right.
And they did the same thing in episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting to, like, have that still continue, that theme. And and the zoomed in 9 and, you know, the way they use cinematography for that and the music really amped it up.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I did love is, like, the way the music played into this, well, every episode, it was really great. I also like that one of the things that I watch a lot of sci-fi and I'm always like, okay, come on, this movie should be 10 minutes. You guys should not be falling for this. So one of my favorite parts of the show was when the crewmen, Pitra, I believe his name is, right, comes in and goes, Peter. When he comes in and says, oh, they took the lifeboats and half the crew is gone. And I'm like, finally somebody wised up and left the boat.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty awesome. But I also found it funny that the first thing that people say was, oh, you know, this is going to end badly because there's women on the boat.
Yeah.
And
it's
not the women that are eating you alive.
But what's interesting is, like, there's battling folklore in this episode. They're like, you know, people are like, oh, it's bad luck to have a woman on the ship. Mm-hmm. But then you have Dracula on the ship and it's, you know, they keep saying it's cursed and there's all these... folklore that was brought up.
Yeah.
I did love the chess game between Dracula and Van Helsing.
It's so symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
So when that first moment when they're playing chess, they've been playing chess for a really long time.
Right.
And so this was, I felt like, very symbolic for them because they're playing this cat and mouse game trying to... take each other down.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I feel like for Van Helsing, it's all about gathering information.
Yeah.
But then we later find out, based on his own word, Dracula's like, no, you've got to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you? And I think that was interesting because I don't think that I really put two and two together, honestly, until he said, where are you?
And then we focused in on the cabin. And I'm like, oh, snap. And I was like, thank God, because the whole time I was trying to figure out how do we go from them being in this circle to now she's playing chess with this man.
Yeah.
I need somebody to explain. So when that happened, I was like, okay, thank you.
And I have to say that I really liked the cinematography of like the nine where they zoomed out.
Yeah.
This really dramatic moment. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think that one of the other things that impressed me, and I would love to find out how you guys felt about it, is how Van Helsing kind of dealt with the fact that, oh, well, this is going to end badly. I'm dying now. And she never missed a beat, though.
Yeah, I assumed that she was either in some type of fever dream or it was like something in his head where he had trapped her or something. Yeah. Early on, cause I was like, there's no way she would just be in this, so chill.
Yeah, right. She wouldn't be just so relaxed hanging with Dracula.
So when she realizes and she's able to kind of like finagle her way out of being hanged, it's kind of like, well, at this point, what can I do to stop him? Like, I'm clearly dying. My fingernails are falling off. There's no hope. And she does handle it really well. I just always want a little bit more action, I think, from Van Helsing sometimes. Like, I still love the character. I still love how the actress is portraying her. But it is always very methodical. It is always, like, a lot of thinking and talking instead of just being like, okay, this happened this time, so let's do this. This happened this time.
But I do feel like when they captured her and they were going to hang her, it was a very... She was, like, talking back. Like, she didn't just... give up, and I liked that part. And she, I liked how she is always deliberate, and she was deliberate in what she says, even though she can't, because she obviously can't take action there.
Right.
But that she, you know, tried to prove somehow that, you know, Dracula was a vampire, you know, tried to get the crew on her side. And it could have gone a different direction. It could have gone really, really wrong.
Right.
And at least it went in her favor.
Yeah.
Billie Jean Girl 24 says, I was confused when they were playing chess that they were acting like friends, so I figured something was wrong. See, I just felt like she was, because he's very egotistical, right? Mm-hmm. So I think he would be fascinated by Van Helsing thinking she can outsmart him. You know what I mean? So I could see him playing into that. So I was the last one, I guess, because it took me a minute to realize, this makes sense.
Well, and he's drinking a glass. That's not wine.
Right, but that wasn't off top, right? It was closer towards the end, like right when he revealed it.
That's true, not right off the bat. That's true.
Yeah.
But you kind of have to like notice these things, because even in the first episode, you're like, who did he take? He has a glass in his hand.
Right. So how did you guys feel about how she explained, or the show explained, his fear of the cross? Where she said that you're not really afraid of the cross. Mm-hmm. Well, he said, it's just that he's been consuming all these people, and religion is basically barbaric, and all these people have fear of the cross, and that's how he ends up with fear of the cross. Did that seem plausible to either of you?
Not at all.
You're so enthusiastic about it.
Well, the moment they stuck their fingers up and across, and he like recoiled, I was I don't believe this. Like, you know, they're trying to, I guess, break down the mythology of Dracula, but it doesn't seem like they actually took the time to really think about how to break it down.
Well, and vampires in general. Like, okay, what are the rules? What are the rules that have been, you know, passed down and that we see in pop culture and books and, you know, literature?
And most of those rules do stem from, like, the rules that Bram Stoker put in the novel Dracula. But there's, like, a whole thing about, like, the person who has the cross has to have faith in the cross, like, for it to work.
You have to believe in it in order for it to be effective.
It has to be imbued with some power. Like, usually, like, there's holy water. It's, like, an actual sacred thing. It's not just your fingers.
Right.
Like, and so I was like, I don't believe this. And also, I don't know, to only have it be something that affects him because he believes so deeply in it, but to have no real backstory on where he comes from or why this has an effect on him or his ties to religion, it just doesn't add up in the end.
Yeah. I mean, if he's embodying all these souls and people from the past, like, if he's taking enough people that do believe in the cross, then wouldn't he, you know, have a counterbalance of that? So it's just an interesting an interesting take on it.
Yeah.
If he's going to take on that aspect of a person's personality, then you would think there would be other aspects he'd be taking on as well. Yeah. So for that to be the ongoing thing, then that would, I mean, people who are God-fearing have other traits to them as well.
Mm. Right, so, right.
And, like, does he get to pick and choose which traits he takes?
Yeah.
You know, and...
because there's a lot more
would be
than,
like a hodgepodge.
Right.
And then he would have a very different personality than what he does now.
Yeah, because I think if you would ask any religious person, they probably would... The first feeling that they said about their faith would not be fear. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be faith. It would
not
be
in current times,
but right? Like maybe back then.
Back then, or mm-hmm. yeah. Even my mom used to be like God fearing all the time.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
What God fearing?
Right.
but yeah, like it. There's just other aspects that come with having religion,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really play any of that up.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't ever talk about garlic either, which I'm like,
yeah.
What happened to garlic?
And, and you know, we don't know what was being served in that dining hall.
Right.
There could be some garlic bread in there.
And right. He doesn't eat.
He doesn't
still,
eat
like,
anything.
Even the smell of it, the appearance of it used to freak, in most interpretations I've seen.
Well, and mirrors, too. Mirrors were a thing. And
I like how they played the mirrors, though. You know what I mean? We've seen a bunch of different renditions of what, you know, they either don't see themselves or I like how he kind of saw his true self, or he can make you
see
you know, what you want to see. So I did like that aspect.
Yeah, like the moment with
the water.
With the water in the barrel, like that was really a nice take on it.
I liked his sense of humor, too. There was that one moment where he was telling the stowaway Peter about the guy that was stowed in the wine barrel, and then he puts his hand in and he's like and then he's like oh, that was funny. So he has the sense of humor, this kind of endearing strong, I'm a strong, dignified, you know, man, you know, so that's attracting to me, but he still seems ominous to me.
I think for me he had so many jokes that I was like, but what else do you got?
Right.
Like, if you're this 500-year-old person, I need a little bit more than jokes. This isn't Vampire Diaries. Okay? Right. You're not Damon.
I mean, maybe he just ate a lot of funny people.
Doesn't seem like it.
Ancient Deadpools.
Well, but
he's,
it's like very, like, serious dry humor. So I see your point where it's like, you gotta diversify your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diversify your performance. And also, it was just like, a lot of waxing on philosophically in between jokes, and as I said in episode one, what is the point? What is your motivation? What are you doing here?
Yeah. One of the questions in the chat, and this is actually our next topic anyway, is what was Dracula trying to do when he was trying to make the crew feel like she was the vampire? Obviously, he was trying to kill her, but I felt like he was still endeared to her. Did he just know she wasn't going to die, and so he was just going to pick her up and, like, what was his plan there?
Exactly.
I mean, you could speculate that if he convinced the crew that she was the actual killer of everyone on board, then they would leave him alone.
Yeah, and then they would keep going.
And they would keep going to England. So really, he was trying to...
Oh, so they'd let their guards down.
Yeah, so they would feel safe, and then he could take the rest of them out.
But it still doesn't really work, because if his whole point is to kill off the rest of the people... Like, honestly, the execution of how he killed people, like, they're like, oh, you're being too greedy and all that kind of stuff, and you can't control your bloodlust and all that kind of stuff, and then they kind of threw that away in episode 3, but we'll get there. If he's supposed to be so crafty and smart, it would make sense that he would be, you know, take his time with people.
Right.
And they do say in episode 3 that they were closer to the shore than they realized, but it's still just in quite...
I mean, I can kind of see that, because he kills like 3 people in like two days or something, which is a lot. And it's like, he is in the perfect place, because he's on a boat. He can just, you know, the remnants, you know, to the fishies. But it also just feels like he's being like greedy.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm going to take as much as I want. And he's not being as methodical as he could be.
Yeah.
When he takes a month to kill someone in his castle.
Right.
And that was weird as well, is that he took forever to kill Jonathan. And then And he'd have the brides and, you know, feed them occasionally. But he couldn't control his bloodlust at all.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It's like, got split personality.
Like, why are you, why can you not control yourself in public with people that can see you?
Yeah.
You know, if you could, if you brought 10 people to your castle, okay, do what you want.
Yeah.
But when you're in public and people can catch you, that's when you have to be really careful.
Right.
And that's why it's like, it kind of switched. Mm-hmm. So I could see how that just doesn't make sense.
Right.
He controlled himself and Jonathan cut his hand in the very first scene. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was able to kind of like, you know, pull away, but without showing his face. But she spits blood in his face, and his eyes turn red. You know, he sees the blood of Abramoff, and he's like freaking out.
Freaking out, right? The leg, you know.
So we needed a little bit more consistency.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, like the rules that are established in episode one mm-hmm. need to be consistent in episode two. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's time to make him meet his end. At least, hopefully, that's the plan. And so Van Helsing
meet his end.
Boom, bum.
Yes.
So, thank you. We're here all week. Actually, we're not. We're just here to the end of the night. But, so now it's time to blow up the ship. To me, this is another failed plan.
Mm-hmm.
This is another failed plan because we already know that you threw him overboard once. He crawled mm-hmm. up the backside. So why would an explosion work this time? Why did they think this was going to work this time?
I mean, it's a little bit more, it's a bigger injury. Mm. And so, you know.
Only if you catch him in the explosion. But the original plan was to blow out the hull so the ship sinks.
I think the whole point was just to stop him from getting to shore.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because originally it was just to get rid of him so they could be safe and get to shore. Originally. And then Van Helsing had a change of heart and realized that nothing can survive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which... they should have just done from the beginning. Just
right.
Take the other lifeboat and go from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, I knew something was iffy when Van Helsing kind of heard the noise coming from other parts of the ship, and mm-hmm. then the captain shows up,
mm-hmm.
and then she finds the original, you know, the soil.
Mm-hmm.
That, I was like, oh man, this is not going to be...
right.
Mm-hmm. At first I thought the captain... was Dracula.
Right, that's what I thought. He's going to do another body peel.
I was like, this is going to be bad. Yeah. Poor captain.
Right.
And then it was just like a normal.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Normal takedown for Dracula. But I, you know, I feel like the whole plan to take down the ship, I feel like it took way too long to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how does she know how to make enough gunpowder?
Right, because you kind of guess her.
Because she's like, yeah, all right, I can. Mm-hmm. We have enough materials. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, okay.
Yeah, her character backstory didn't make any sense, especially when she got on the boat and she's like, I'm a nun, so I relieve you of your duties as captain. And mm-hmm. I was like, that.
And then the captain hugged her and then said, oh, and she said, oh, I'm a nun. I'm like,
yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But again, that could be like her comedy, like kind of her line delivery mm-hmm. and kind of adding a little humor into it.
Yeah, it just didn't make a ton of sense that she was, I don't know, aware of certain things.
I had a love-hate with the ending with, you know, the captain waking up and saying, keep him talking, and then crawling mm-hmm. his way over and lighting it up. I had a love-hate relationship with that because he's the captain. He's supposed to go down with the ship. This is how it's supposed to go. On the other hand, we've seen a few people... Mm-hmm. after they've been bit by Dracula, and it takes them a long time to wake up. Mm. He was, like, bit, and then, okay, girl, I got you. That is a little weird to me.
Like, he wasn't... He didn't, like, regenerate. I think he just got bitten and then passed out and then woke up. But it's still... That's a pretty gruesome bite. You don't just, to your jugular, you don't just recover from that.
Yeah, you kind of need a moment, you mm-hmm. know, or you might bleed out, you know what I mean? So it just, but I still, you know, I still liked him, you know, going mm-hmm. down with the ship, being a trooper, and was like, we got to get this girl. I understand what it is.
It was an honorable act.
Yeah. But, okay, so then the ship blows up, he plummets to the bottom, and then he walks back to shore.
Yeah.
Dracula does.
Dracula walks back to shore.
Which he could have done... 123 years earlier, but sure.
Right. Right, but we don't know that at the end of this episode that it's 123 years. She just says, what kept you?
Yeah, what kept you?
We know it's modern day.
Like, right, we hear the helicopters, we see the lights and all that good stuff, and then it ends right there. So how'd you guys feel about the ending of episode two? I'm going to go with Emily first.
I know, look at her face!
I'm just listening.
Okay, I have to say, I did a whoa. I did an audible whoa.
Okay.
But I felt like it was very on brand for the creators of the show to do a twist like that. Mm-hmm. I felt like it was definitely in their wheelhouse to do to do a swerve like that to modern day. So, I wasn't expecting it, but once, you know, knowing the canon of their work, I thought, okay, it makes sense.
I was just curious to see how they were going to do that. You know, okay, well, he's been asleep for 123 years. So let's see
where this goes.
Where this goes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Sometimes when people do like fish out of water, you're kind of like, we've all been here before. We all be okay. You've never had seen a cell phone before. Okay, we get it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to reserve any other judgment than, let's see where it goes.
Right.
Because we have to do episode 3.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, when I was like, okay, what's going on? Is Sister Agatha still alive? This is clearly modern day.
I know, I was like, how is this happening? This is the same woman.
Right.
This is Dracula. What's going to happen?
Yeah. Right.
It was a whole thing. There was a lot going on in my mind.
But at that moment, I was glad I could just watch the next episode, because if they would have made me wait a week to figure that out, I'd have been like, oh, I don't know if I can do this again.
Thank you, Netflix, for making them available.
Thank you so much. So it's an interesting take on Dracula, but there are some historic Draculas that, you know, have kind of done it before. Adrian, you want to tell us about some of them?
Yes, Dracula. Yay, three
about them.
No. No, I'm laughing because you were like, there's some historical ones, and we're talking about Dracula 2000, y'all.
Hey, that's 20 years ago.
20 years ago.
It was.
Some kiddos haven't seen it,
right?
But if you have seen Wes Craven's Dracula 2000, then you know why I laughed. It's basically, I think it says 2000. Oh, it did come out in 2000. So it's a reinterpretation of Dracula as Judas. So essentially,
there you go.
He's the curse of eternal life comes from Judas betraying Jesus, and it's a very sexy movie. It is also a very goofy movie. Vitamin C, the singer from the early aughds, late 90s.
Oh my gosh.
Plays Vitamin one C. Of the brides.
I was like, I had to forgot trace about back that. For that one.
Yeah. Johnny Lee Miller, a.k.a. Angelina Jolie's first husband, is like our substitute. Jonathan Harker. You got Mekhi Phifer behind him turning into a vampire in one of my pictures.
Right.
Then you also have Christopher Plummer, who's in Knives Out, very well-known British actor, playing Van Helsing. And then they merged the character of Mina to be also, like, the granddaughter of Van Helsing as well. So, it's fun. Oh, and Gerard Butler as Dracula. It's a fun, silly...
I forgot Gerard Butler.
Definitely early aughts type of movie where, you know, they say silly lines and he's really dramatic and over the top and he's shirtless a lot. And this is back in the day when Gerard Butler was really, 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 really sexy.
Ooh, that's a lot of really. I have not seen this one.
Just
so
for that.
I'm going to have to watch it for that.
I mean, this is, you know, pre-300. So he was like, still, he's like, just very handsome. 300,
right.
He was handsome. And then, you know, after that, you're kind of like, well.
Yeah, I saw 300 about 300 times.
Yeah. So, check it out.
It's, nice.
It's a Wes Craven, not classic, but it's Wes Craven's.
So. Nice. All right. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, okay.
Good reminder to see it.
Yeah, now, especially since you said really, really, really sexy. I'm definitely going to have to check that one out.
At least to me when I was like 14.
Hey. 14-year-old eyes see things as they are sometimes. Yeah. All right, but what was your favorite bite? We're going to do our favorite moments from the show. Mm-hmm. So what was your favorite bite, Emily, from this one? From episode 2.
From episode 2, my best bite, I would have to say, would be the scene with Dracula and the reveal that he had a secret partner. A silent partner, and that whole scene in one of the cabins with the scientist and his daughter. I feel like it was really moving. It was suspenseful. Mm-hmm. It was sad, and I feel like it had a really good emotional arc to it. So that was
that's a good one.
My best bite for this episode.
Yeah,
my best bite. I'm just going to look up the actor's name. It's actually just Adisa. He's The Lover of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Played by Nathan Stewart Jarrett, also known for Misfits. And I just loved everything he was doing. I was like, oh, let's get more of him. Like,
yeah. Right.
All the sass that he's throwing. Like, that whole beat where he's like, you think I'm a savage and, you know.
Yeah.
Screw you. Yeah. like that's, he was just doing so, he was just so craftful in what he was doing in his delivery. And he clearly understood they were really lovers, and he wasn't happy with it. And
that it whole, was so sad.
Yeah, that shade where he's like, the wine is for me, it's not for my master. He's not my master. And I was like, I like what you're doing there. You're doing some heavy work, just as good as Van Helsing.
Yeah. My favorite bite was when the Lord decided to side with Dracula and then ended up getting dead.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think was going to happen?
Yeah, I mean,
the whole scene,
that
was going to
turn bad.
I was like, really?
Yeah.
Dude.
I liked it up to that point.
Right.
No, I
was like, oh, this guy never, you know, of course they don't have crime TV back then, but like, you've never,
seriously. You're an accomplice to murder. That's what you are.
Right.
He's killed like everyone.
He's killed everyone. So.
But he's not going to kill you because you've aligned yourself. I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that's people can turn their back.
Like, quickly.
Yeah.
All right, well, we are going to discuss episode 3 later on. So if you guys are following us on YouTube in the chat, make sure you stay with us. Come back to the chat in a few minutes. But just in case you don't, let's tell everybody where they can find us. Adrienne, let's start with you.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrienne Snow.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Emily May Heller.
And you can find me on all things social media at JRayTheFanatic. But like I said, come right back. We'll be right back discussing episode 3. Make sure you check that out. Once again, thank you guys for joining us right here on AfterBuzz, and we will buzz you later.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.